In my view, a great deal is said about Islam and Muslims behind closed doors across Australia and indeed around the world. It seems it's the current silent national conversation. It's the Clayton's conversation we're having when we're not having a conversation. If one says anything about Islam, we are branded racists and bigots by the left wing and the juvenile university student platoon. I haven't said much about the Muslim factor because I respect the reserved Christian thread running through 4CRB, and I know intuitively they are a peaceful, warm-hearted organisation that would mostly turn the other cheek. Indeed, the philosophy of the station sits well with me. However, I can't remain silent any longer because of recent events, and as an Australian, I am moved to speak out, and I have that right. Well, I think I do. Islam is a measurable problem, in my view, as all Muslims read and worship from the same book as do the so-called extremists, and there are other compelling reasons as well. How on earth am I supposed to tell an extremist from a regular so-called moderate Muslim? And I, for one, subscribe to Abbott's Team Australia. I don't want our country to end up like so many others where there are huge social Islamic problems with violence in the streets and intolerance toward the very people who built the country. Now you might say, well, that won't happen here because we have multiculturalism and it works so very well. Yes, it has worked well in the past when a broad range of nationalities were invited to come to Australia. The Greeks and the Italians, the Polish, the English and the Dutch, the Germans, Japanese and Chinese, and so many others have all successfully contributed to this fledgling nation. They came in peace for a better life, and integrated and assimilated. They accepted the law of the land and learnt English and followed the rule of society and the law. In other words, we really have a monoculture within Australia that binds us together. In the rare places where integration has not occurred, such as the Lebanese ghettos in Sydney, then we have problems. But overall, these are rare examples. We know that when people don't integrate, there are problems, and not just here but throughout the world. Now enter Islam and the Muslim religion. Islam is not a race. It's a complete dictatorial system and is apparently chartered with placing that system into local Muslim communities or indeed the entire country. In fact, I assert it's a Quranic command. So what do we make of the Islamic Muslim people other than to observe they seem to want to build enclaves and to advocate the benefits of their Sharia law? Their women are required to be covered except for their hands and face, and yet they assure us that women are not subjugated. Many women tell a very different story. My friends, this is where our constitution fails us, in that we are not guaranteed freedom of speech, and so the national debate is defeated through others passing judgment on our reasonable opinions. In my view, that's all about to end as the average moderate Australian citizen, like you and I, become fed up with the politically correct jihad declared against us. What has finally driven me to write on this subject is the beheading of James Foley, an American journalist, by a vile Muslim recently and live on camera, which these evil satanic Muslim murderers then posted online. It appears the perpetrator may in fact be a British Muslim, which is alarming when you think back to the appalling death by machete of British soldier Lee Rigby, also by Muslims. The death of these people by beheading is barbaric, evil and criminal, but it also appears to be sanctioned by the Quran. This is where the Muslims claim to get authority for all manner of things, but according to the so-called moderate Muslims, it is anything but Islamic. Let us simply say that their difference of opinion is alarming. If there are, in fact, moderate, peaceful Muslims in Australia, they run the risk of becoming irrelevant if they don't loudly and clearly condemn jihadists and the like, and should denounce them in the name of Islam. If Muslims fail to do this, they become as irrelevant to the West's view of Islam as the peace-loving Germans' relevance was to the Allies in stopping the Nazis. Let me assure you of one thing, that for evil to prevail only requires good people to do nothing. We all have an obligation to participate in our democracy, or else we risk losing that privilege. Around 12 months ago, I interviewed a local Muslim priest called an imam. He unambiguously told me that Muslims will integrate but never assimilate. He was telling the truth, and there is mounting evidence of that subtle difference everywhere. I have a feeling that subtle difference is the real problem. Until next time, this is Kent Bailey.